Good morning, everyone. A very special welcome to our guests and to our visitors. We're happy that you're here, and we hope you feel at home among us. And if you're here for the first time, we're so happy to have you. I want to, in a special way, acknowledge today our Mothers Union. They are going to be renewing their promises and also receiving some new members. So welcome to all of our mothers from the Mothers Union. I also want to acknowledge our deacon, Deacon Deborah. She just had surgery to replace her heel and an ankle. Yeah, her ankle. And she came in the procession in this thing. Watch. Now, what a way to process, right? Thing weighs about 100 pounds.
That's why I don't carry it.
The senior warden could use this at, you know, his workouts. This is a big big deal. How much longer, Deacon, do you have to drive around in this or ride around in this?
I don't know. I'm not supposed to put any weight on it, so you can.
So don't stand up.
I can balance.
You can balance. Okay.
But 5 more weeks, but probably not with this.
5 more weeks. She kind of likes it, you know? There was an elderly couple driving on the highway. And you can see the car swerving a bit. Eventually, the police stops them. And when the policeman approaches the car, the gentleman begins to lower the window. And when he lowers the window, he looks straight at the man and says, "Do you know why I stopped you, sir?" And the man would not respond. Blank stare back at the officer. "Do you know why I stopped you?" He said, "You were not wearing your seatbelt. Do you understand me?" And the man just looked at the police officer and kind of nodded. Not a word. So again he said, "You were not wearing your seatbelt. In this state, that's illegal. I can give you a big ticket." Man would not respond. And eventually he sees that his wife is sitting there quietly and says, "Lady, please, will you please explain to your husband what I'm telling him?" He says, "Oh, officer, you don't know. We've been married over 50 years, and I realize that he gets very, very angry when he's drunk." It wasn't just a seatbelt, was it? Jesus gets angry in today's gospel. Now that's very different, isn't it? Because when we think of Jesus, when we think of the Lord, we think of the Good Shepherd, the compassionate, loving Jesus, the God of peace. We think of all of the good things revealed in the Word made flesh, in the God among us, the Emmanuel. We think of the love revealed in the face of Jesus Christ, the love of the Father revealed. And so it's very hard for us to encounter this angry Jesus. But in today's gospel, Jesus is indeed angry. Now, I tell you where we've got it wrong. Most of us preachers and most readers of the Bible are totally off on why Jesus is angry. A lot of us think in the Christian tradition that it was a horrible thing that they were selling animals and changing money at the temple during the Passover, the holy days. But I've got to tell you, that's not what Jesus was angry about. Selling animals and that kind of money changing that went along with it was part of the custom. It was part of what went on those days. There was actually nothing sinful about that in the law of the Jews. So Jesus was not angry about the selling or the back and forth of the money changing. Jesus was angry at the corruption, at the injustice. that when people went to fulfill their religious obligations and their rituals, instead of charging them $5 for an animal that they could buy nearby, they were charging them $100 or $200 just because they were there, very close to doing it. So they took advantage of the poor and those in need. They took advantage of good religious people by raising up the prices and doing things that were unjust. Jesus was angry at the injustice. Jesus was angry at the corruption. Jesus was not angry about what they were doing. He was angry about how they were doing it. He was angry at their actions. And that's very important for us. Because before we begin to justify our anger, because we all get angry, right? Anybody here never been angry in your life? Okay. We all get angry. But before we start getting comfortable with this thought of Jesus getting angry, we've got to understand different types of anger. And let's bring it closer to our times. Let's bring it to our times. Let's think of Abraham Lincoln, who was justifiably angry at slavery, who suffered a great deal during his presidency in the midst of a civil war and everything else because he knew that slavery was wrong. Let's think of Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King Jr. was angry at racial discrimination and bigotry. Let's think of Gandhi in India. Gandhi, who was the most peaceful man, but yet was angry at the racial discrimination against the untouchables by all the high castes in India. And he knew that his country could never be united, could never be free unless they got rid of that. Let's think of Nelson Mandela in South Africa and the apartheid. He was angry at that. It was a righteous anger, right? That's the kind of anger Jesus expresses in today's gospel. It's that kind of anger. Anger against injustice, anger against corruption, anger against that which we as human beings should not be involved in. Because it's only when we forget that we are the beloved children of God and that God has created all of us equally that we fall into that kind of activity. The origin of that kind of activity is hatred, greed, ignorance, a whole series of attitudes that have nothing to do with being created in the image and likeness of a loving, good God. When we see the bully in today's world beating up on a kid at school, when we see the thief stealing the old man's car or taking advantage of someone who is physically incapacitated or challenged, when we see domestic violence, when we see all of these different forms of hatred, we too become angry somehow. God has wired us as human beings to have emotions and to respond somewhat emotionally. But we have to choose our anger, and we have to choose it wisely. Because as children of God, we are called to so much more. Think about what it meant for Jesus to get there in those holy days. And the gospel tells us that he created a kind of whip, right? And that he began to manifest this anger toward the injustice and the corruption. Think about what that means. And did he aim that anger at individuals, or was that anger aimed at behavior. The great philosopher Aristotle said, anyone can be angry, but to be angry with the right person, to the right degree, at the right time, with the right purpose, that's not easy. The great Elie Wiesel, who was the survivor of the Holocaust and great American writer, said, there may be times when we are powerless to prevent injustice, but there must never be a time when we fail to protest it. In other words, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we too must be angered by the injustice and corruption in our world. We cannot stay quiet. I can't tell you how many times in the last several weeks I have felt in my heart so proud of all of these young people, some of them from right here, from 20 minutes, just north of us. And some of our own kids here in our congregation who got up here and spoke so openly about what they felt, the anger they felt about the whole gun issue. And they were so honest and so direct and so strong that it says to me that that is ultimately what happens with Jesus in today's gospel. There was a truth that needed to be spoken. And even though it seems like a radical response, sometimes radical injustice requires a radical response. We can all get angry as Jesus did, yet we must learn how to channel and direct anger in a way that is constructive to make this world more just. Just being angry for the sake of being angry makes no sense. But if our anger is a righteous type of anger, like Gandhi's was, like Martin Luther King's was, like Jesus' anger in today's gospel, then eventually it leads us to action. And it leads us to action in the name of God. And so believe me, we cannot fold our arms and be indifferent to the injustices around us. I want to share an example with you. I notice sometimes on social media, I could put a picture of my kids having fun. I could put a picture of some activity here at church. Anything, and the responses are amazing. You post something about an injustice happening in our society. You post something about a serious threat to our democracy, to our stability, to our peace, and our way of life, and people barely respond. It's almost like we are uncomfortable with denouncing that which is unjust. We are uncomfortable getting involved even in the conversation. And maybe we think, well, that's something from the 60s, and the 70s, you know, those days are over. Remember all those protests during the Vietnam War? Remember all those things that they did, you know, when the world was different? I'm here to tell you, we are in 2018, and there's still a lot of injustice, and there's still a lot of protest that is needed. Because if we do not denounce that which is wrong, we are allowing it to perpetuate. If we don't give voice to the voiceless, we are not doing our job as the baptized in the body of Christ. We must give voice to the voiceless. We must be willing to go against the flow as Christians and say what must be said. That's what Jesus is talking about in today's gospel. So please, let's not fall into the trap of just seeing this as Jesus' angry episode. Because he was such a nice guy, but he got angry once, hey. Let's understand the depth of it. Jesus was not at peace with injustice. He was not at peace with corruption. He was not at peace with negative, destructive attitudes. And neither should we. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.